Well, whether you are a longtime attender, or this is your first morning, or somewhere in between, welcome. Count it a privilege to gather together with you. As many of you know, this is only our second Sunday here in our this facility, this new building that God has provided. But we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing in this this whole property that He's allowed us to be a part of now. So welcome, welcome, and we thank God for it. Well, we're going to dig into God's Word together. We've been traveling through the book of 1 Samuel. Let's turn there. We're in 1 Samuel 22 this morning. Now, to help you study, we want to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand. The ushers are coming down the aisle to make sure and pass the Bible to you. If you need one, just let them pass one to you. And it's yours to keep, of course, if you need it. Get their attention. They'll pass it over. Get your hand up high, and we'll be all set. Thank you, Bruce. 1 Samuel 22. I wonder if you were to look back to that time before you'd asked Jesus into your heart, I wonder what words you'd use to describe the condition you were in back then. For some, if it's been recent, you have a pretty good idea. But for some of us, maybe it's been a while. And sometimes time can go along and we look back and we might just say, oh, well, I was kind of in bad shape, but I need a little help. Or, yeah, I thought I'd come to Jesus, sounded good or something. Well, this morning, we're going to let the Lord take us back and remind us of the shape we're in, the condition we're in, but what He offered to us. But for some, it's not that far back. Indeed, for some, it might be this morning. You might find yourself in a certain condition. Well, if you do, good news. We're going to discover also His remedy for that condition. 1 Samuel 22, where we left off. Remember, the setting is basically this. David is a man on the run at this point. Saul was the first king of Israel. Well, Saul had been disobedient. He rebelled. He wouldn't submit to God. He rejected God, and therefore God rejected Saul from being king. And God went looking and found a man after His own heart in a shepherd boy named David. So at this point, David has been chosen by God. He's been anointed by God to be king, but he's not on the throne yet. Saul is still ruling and reigning. And because Saul knows that David is going to be king, and because Saul has become very bitter and jealous and angry, he's after David. He wants to kill him. And so at this point, as we come to chapter 22, David is still a man on the run. David flees Saul, it tells us, and this is what we read, starting in verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. In this cave of Adullam, out in the wilderness, David finds himself seeking refuge. But now he begins to find people gathering unto him. It says it's everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented. Take yourself in a time machine, if you would, and go back. Picture yourself now there with David. You're standing there by the entrance of the cave, and people are beginning to wander out there to you. And what a group they are. It's all the ones who are in distress. They're in debt. They're discontented. Look at them. Can you see them? Can you kind of see them wandering out there to the cave, getting ready to join David there? Look closely at this group coming to join David, this group of discontented and distressed people. Look closely. Do you recognize anybody? Look really close. If you do, you might just see us. Let's pray. Father, there can be that way we see ourselves, and then there's the way You declare us to be. For only You have the real true take on us. We don't know ourselves, not really. You know us inside out. But You still love us. And You call us to You. And You know the condition we were in or maybe still are in. But You offer that awesome answer, that remedy. Lord, we ask You now. As we look at those who gathered to David and made David their captain, Lord, we look to You now. For Lord, it's an obvious but yet important point You make. We need a captain for our souls. So, Lord, speak to us now. Help us to hear from You in this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called our time together this morning, our awesome captain. Look at verse 2 with me. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, so he became captain over them. Sometimes scripture can be stretched and applications made that maybe the text doesn't warrant. But here we have one that is just right there. The Holy Spirit has definitely caused this to be penned, not only just to record as history, but to help us understand the very clear application. You see, we've seen it before, but once again we see David is an example of Jesus. Notice those who sought out David. Are they not a lot like those who seek out Jesus? It tells us here, first of all, and I want you to think about what these people were fleeing from. They lived at the time in a kingdom of a repressive ruler. Saul was a selfish, vain, prideful man. But isn't that a perfect description of the prince of this world right now, Satan? We understand that there are battling influences going on. There's the kingdom of God, but there's also the kingdom of the enemy, so to speak. There is evil out there. We understand that. Indeed, all of us one time were in that camp until the Lord got hold of us and drew us into his kingdom. But there's that competing kingdom, so to speak, those competing ones who desire to rule and reign over us. And Saul becomes a sort of living example, if you will, of the enemy of our souls. Well, in verse 2, we meet some people who've had enough. They no longer wanted to be under the rule of Saul. They no longer were finding anything. They never did, but they weren't finding the answer to what they're really seeking for in this world. That's the idea here. They don't want what the current ruler is offering. And their circumstances are used to bring them to see that, to bring them to see their own need in all this. They are hurting people, and they want better. They want relief from the oppression. Again, so it is today. We don't find what we're looking for around us. You're not going to find the enemy, not going to find it in the world. It's not from looking around, it's from looking up. But here we see, there are people who, they have no peace. There were people who had no hope. They were struggling. But they begin to wake up. They begin to recognize, wait a minute, there's got to be better. This world doesn't have it. It's not offering what I really need. I've tried the wells of this world, and it didn't satisfy, so to speak. So then they begin to gather unto David. Let's look at these three groups of people. The first one, it says, and everyone who was in distress. Important we understand the word. The Hebrew word that's translated distress there comes from a word that means a narrow place. Narrow place. We don't know the exact circumstances of each individual, but they are grouped together in this. See, we don't need to know exactly what they're going through. They're grouped together in this. It's a word that says they were in a narrow place. That's a word that makes us think of our current phrase, they were between a rock and a hard place. You know, seemingly nowhere to out. I'm being pushed together. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. That's the idea here. They're in a narrow place is the idea. There are people who had reached their limits. Everything's pinching in on me, and I can't see an answer. They had reached their breaking point. That's the word here. That's the idea being conveyed. You ever been there? Don't answer out loud. But you ever reached that place where, Lord, I'm at my breaking point. I'm at the tipping point here. I'm putting a rock in a hard place. This is squeezing me. That's what this group had going on. That's what drove them out to David that day. Maybe you're at your breaking point today. Maybe you are stuck in a situation. Maybe you are frustrated about something. God is using that to get your attention because perhaps it's your situation right now. But there's a second group. What's the second group? Everyone who was in debt. Now, we all understand the idea of being in debt. The idea of being in debt means you owe more than you can pay. Well, that's what they had going on for them. Well, that's not just their condition. Because spiritually speaking, all of us, at one point, have come to that conclusion that we owe a debt we could never repay. Spiritually speaking, we were broke. And we had nothing to repay God with. We can't pay for, earn God's mercy and forgiveness and all. In essence, what I'm saying is, are we not all debtors to God? Every breath is just a gift from God. The Bible helps us understand that we've all fallen short of God's glory. In the Bible, the word translated sin is a Greek word that means to miss the mark. The mark is God's perfection, his holiness. If we were to be able to go and live with God on our own, we'd have to be pure and holy. But we're not. The Bible declares we've all fallen short of that. We've all missed the mark. And so that's our condition. We owe this debt spiritually, a debt we couldn't pay, is the point. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of good works that can span the gap that sin creates between us and God. So it's going to take someone paying a debt for us because we couldn't. Someone's going to have to span that gap because we can't. It was going to require that sinless blood to be shed on our behalf. We didn't have any amongst us. We didn't have that price to pay. But Jesus paid it all. Matthew 18 points out, Jesus was talking about this parable, the story of the unforgiving servant. And Jesus said, Then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" I point that out just to point out the principle Jesus points to there. When he, referring to the Father, says, "I forgave you all that debt." See, we were all debtors, spiritual paupers. We owed $1 trillion and had Zippo in our pockets, so to speak, when we came to him. You weren't almost able to be saved, just needed a little push over the hill. "Well, I'm pretty good here. I just need a little brushing up." No, we were dead. We needed life. We needed forgiveness. We had a debt we could have never paid. We are debtors to him. So Jesus lays it right out there. You know, I think people could really understand their need, their spiritual poverty more if they'd understand the depth of sin. Today, sin is watered down, and we don't like messages about sin. "Oh, that old-time word. Why are you bringing that up again?" Because it's so important. You don't appreciate the remedy till you know you got the disease, right? If I stood up here and said, "Okay, everybody, guess what? I heard this morning that they have found a cure for hooga-booga disease." You say, "Well, that's nice. Doesn't mean anything to me, though." But if you had it, you'd be going, "Woohoo! Where do I sign up?" So we need to see our condition to understand and appreciate God's remedy. All of us were debtors, head over heels, debtors unto God. And thirdly, it says, everyone who was discontented. The word translated discontented here is a really interesting word. It is the Hebrew word mar, M-A-R. And in the Hebrew, you might recognize that root word. It's a word that's often translated in terms of bitter or bitterness. When it says they were discontented, they were bitter people. "Oh, well, definitely that wasn't me." Well, slow down. Let's make sure. Because really, an understanding of bitterness would help us see this. It means they were disappointed. When they walked out to the cave that day, there were people whose in life things hadn't gone the way they thought they would, or that they thought they should. You might hear them saying, like, "Oh, I deserve better. How come I don't have? Why did it go this way?" See, bitterness can disguise itself. We understand that we become bitter. But it can do that to us. It had done that to them. I wonder if there's a chance you're bitter this morning. Has life not gone the way you thought it would, the way you thought it should? Have you experienced some hurtful things? Most of us have. Have you experienced some things that were very sad? Most of us have. Well, there's a possibility that has made you disappointed, discontented, bitter. So that's the group, this interesting group wander out there, the distressed, the debtors, and the discontented. And what do they do to find relief? They make their way. They leave home. They leave the friendship and the companionship, the comforts of home, and they make their way out in the desert. And they go out to a cave. They go out to David, and it says they make him their captain. He is a king, but he's not ruling and reigning yet. But they go to him. Because they understand that he does. He is called of God, and he is anointed, and he is going to reign. He is going to be king. And he goes out there, and he makes them, he becomes their captain. Saul hadn't cared about them. So where would they go? To a cave? What are you going to fight in a cave? Why a cave? It's not the cave, it's who's in the cave. The future reigning king is there. This man after God's heart is there, and he's going to become their captain. What about us? The world doesn't really care about us. Satan sure doesn't care about us. So where are we going to go if we're discontented, discouraged, bitter, in distress, troubled, no peace, no hope, it feels like, owing a debt we can't pay? We sense it in our hearts, our lives. Where are we going to go? To a cross? Well, what good will that do? It's who's on the cross. It's who came out of that tomb that made it the empty tomb. It's who now sits on the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for us. That's what the big deal is. They went to the cave because who was there? We go to the cross. We go to Jesus. It's who he is that makes the difference. For he is the remedy for discouraged, distressed, discontented lives. He is the remedy for us. Perhaps you sit here, though, and maybe think, Pastor, you're overstating your case. Come on, we're not. People are basically good people, and we're okay. And yeah, okay, we need saving. Okay, that's really cool. And there's a place for that stuff and all. Well, let me read something for you. I'm going to turn all the way to the book of the Revelation for just a moment. In the book of the Revelation, Jesus addresses seven churches. And most understand that while they were churches that existed at that time, they also represent ages of the church since Jesus was here. And most of us believe we're in that age of the seventh church. And Jesus says this to us. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's Jesus. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He's speaking spiritually, of course, in all this. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And now comes the verse that we're all familiar with, many of us are, when he says, now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the church says, the Spirit says to the churches. Interesting. That verse about, behold, I stand at the door and knock, often used at crusades and altar calls, and it's fine because that is the case. The Lord stands at the door of every heart, saying, invite me in, receive me. You need to have eternal life, forgiveness of sins. So that's fine to apply it that way. But in context, it's written to the church. It's written to believers, people who are naming him, and yet he's outside. And he says, I do this so you'll repent, so you'll turn around. He said, do you have ears to hear what I'm saying, he says? I stand at the door and knock. I stand there saying, let me in. To believers who are naming him, but he's not in or something. Something's going on here. But he said, I'm standing here. Let me in so you can receive all I have. So this morning, my question, my challenge, my encouragement is for you to think about, have you made Jesus your captain? That's in the terminology of the text here in our 1 Samuel text. Have you really come under his leadership, his authority, his rulership? Going to give you the opportunity to do that today. Because it needs to be settled. This weekend is a sort of memorial service weekend for me. I had the privilege of overseeing a memorial service this last Friday. Now let me share, the person who were there to honor and celebrate her life, she was a believer. So we were able to indeed celebrate her homegoing. But times like that can get us to thinking. Plus, you couple out the fact that Kathy and I are going to head up to Orange County this afternoon to go attend the memorial service for Pastor Chuck. Many of you know Pastor Chuck. He was the one who God used to raise up this whole Calvary Chapel movement, but he now recently went home to be with the Lord, and this evening is going to be his memorial service. We used to attend there for years. I was on staff there as an assistant pastor for years, and so we're going to go up and attend the memorial service up there. So it's kind of a weekend sandwiched by memorial services. Now, for some of you, go, whoa, that's a bummer. Not when you're celebrating someone who knows the Lord. Not when you're able to say, we know that we know he or she is home. Yeah, we miss people. We wish we could sit down and talk to them and you know, pick their brain for some wisdom again or whatever the case might be. And, of course, we miss them, but that's about us. But believe me, we want to wish them back. We want to go to where they are. But it's just that kind of weekend for me, and it got me to thinking about some things. I was driving home Friday after overseeing the memorial service that took place Friday, and it was up in Alpine, so I was just kind of driving back down the hill there, and I was just thinking about the whole thing of our going home and this privilege I have of overseeing sometime memorial services or and all, and I was thinking about my part in this and other people's part, and I guess I just want to say this, and it's so important that we settle the issue of eternity. It's so important that we make Jesus the captain of our souls. That's a settled issue. Guess this sounds pretty selfish, what I'm about to say is, but I don't want to stand over somebody's grave that we don't know what happened to them. I want to make sure that you've got it settled. And that people around you know you've got it settled. It's so important to settle. Have you come to Jesus? Have you made him the captain of your soul, of your life? You received the forgiveness and hope that only he's offering. And if you're going through a time of distress or you're discontented and all, that's by God's design to draw you to him, to show you that it's not going to find it looking around. It's only looking up. But we must do that. Each one of us must do that. My part, I'm kind of like an ambassador, if you will. An ambassador is sent out representing his country. But an ambassador doesn't get to change the beliefs of his country. He doesn't get to make separate treaties for his country. He's there to represent his country. And that's my privilege and calling. I'm not called to send out I'm not sent out to change the terms of the situation here. I'm sent to call out, and why would I want to? For it's the best news ever that I get to declare. There's forgiveness. There's eternal life. There's cleansing. There's hope. There's peace. There's purpose found in the captain of our souls, found in Jesus. But not only me, but you, if you're a believer, you're an ambassador too. And you're sent out into this world of people of this who are distressed and discontented. And you're there to declare that good news. The terms of the agreement, so to speak. That surrender we must all come to. So I guess I've been thinking about that this weekend and how important it is. And so I lovingly ask you, have you made Jesus your Savior? Have you made him your captain? Have you come unto him? Have you come out from all the other stuff? And you come to him really, really? If you have, there should be a change. There will be a change. But now I want to speak to another group. You have come to him. You didn't make him your Savior. You made him the captain of your life, your spirit, your soul, whatever terminology there. You did come, and he now is your captain. For those of you in the military, and you have any rank at all, to those you outrank, do people always do what you say the way you want? I see Scott going, It wasn't that way, was it? Unfortunately, people don't always do what you want. And you know what they sometimes do? They even go AWOL. I wonder if anybody here has gone AWOL from the captain of your soul. You know him. You received him. You belong to him. But you reached a point where you said, you know what? I think I know better. I don't want to obey in this one. I don't want to follow in this one. I don't like this wilderness stuff. I'm going to go back to the old. I'm going to try another way. I'm looking at something else somebody else is doing. I wonder if anybody has gone AWOL from your captain today. There's a call for you this morning, too. See, maybe you're like the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? He belonged to the father. But he reached the point where he said, you know what? I'm going to go do my own thing. And he took his inheritance and went out and lived this life, thought he'd find it out there. But what he really found was himself settling for far less than his father had for him. And so what he found himself doing was, he went his own way, did his own thing, and pretty soon he's dining with pigs. Gee, isn't that wonderful? Gee, the world had so much for him, huh? Looked so good until he got out there, and pretty soon he's sitting there dining with pigs in the pig pen. Was he not distressed, discontented as he sat there in the pig pen? See, he found that you not only have to make Jesus your captain, you have to keep him there, so to speak. You have to walk under his leadership to receive the blessings of him being in command. It's just the way it is. If you don't, you too will soon be dining with pigs, discontented again, distressed, struggling, no peace, wondering why. Maybe it's today. What's the cure? The prodigal came home. What's the cure for us? Return to our awesome heavenly captain today. Don't put on an act. Don't say, oh, it's no big. Yeah, I believe for interacting with people, there are people who, yeah, you know the Lord, but let's face it, he's not really ruling over it, and you're discontented. And you're struggling, you wonder why, and it's hurting, and what a rough place to be. Good news, he doesn't have the brig for you. He wants to set you free from that and remind you that, no, it's not out there. The distressed, the debtors, the discontented, they were us, and unfortunately for some, they are us. But they wanted more. We see that. They wanted lives that did have purpose. They saw this world and the enemy's ways. And they saw that those weren't the way to get to where they needed to go and wanted to go. See, they wanted peace and hope and purpose. And it wasn't staying under the rulership of Saul. It was getting out there to David. His time of ruling and reigning was coming, and they wanted to be with him. They settled the issue before he ruled and reigned, literally. There were people who needed a debt paid. They were willing to admit they didn't have what it took. So they gathered to their captain. And so must we. Have you gathered unto Jesus? Jesus is the answer for every distressed, indebted, disconnected, discontented soul. Jesus is the only answer. Now, having said all that, what did they find when they got there? What does it say? And everyone who was distressed, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. And David said, you losers, get out of here. I'm looking for some guys that got it together. I only want people that are together. Get out of here. Is that what he did? Of course not. He didn't say, go away, I don't want you. He welcomed them. And so it is with Jesus and us. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. We can look back and say, well, I wasn't so that bad. Yeah, you were. I sure was. Dead as a doornail, lost, all about me, all those things. Paul says he was chief sinner. Okay, Paul, I'll give you that, but I'm right behind you. I know that line of sinners is long, Paul, but in this case, I'm right next to you. Are you willing to admit the same? Do you recognize? I mean, we were lost, but we came to the captain of our souls, and he saved us. But for some, you need to come and do that today. Some have drifted off from that. But I want to say this now. Consider this. This group of distressed, indebted, disconnected guys, have you ever heard of David's mighty men of valor? as we travel on through the Word of God here, we're going to learn that David's going to gather some people around him. First, there's 400 of them. Then they build up to 600. But they're going to become known as David's mighty men of valor. They're going to win all kinds of awesome victories. They're going to be known as these great, loyal, just valiant warriors and all. This is them when they started out. They didn't start out like that. They started out as discontented, debtors, distressed. That's how they wandered out to him that day. They'll become something else, but they came in this condition. Take heart. Though they go on to experience great victories and become mighty warriors, right now they don't know that. They simply know this: I need help. I need relief. And for some, I need salvation. I mean, look at who David's army is made up of. Look at who David's army is made up. Think of it. We call them the three D's. They are the distressed. They are those in debt. And those are discontent. How would you like that for a job description? Looking for someone to join me. I'm looking for those who are in debt, can't pay it. I'm looking for those who are discontented, you're bitter. I'm looking for those in distress. What a job description. How many people are going to, you're going to hire them? You're going to make your army up out of them? God makes his army up out of them because he's talking about us. Not many wise. But the foolish things. I qualify. We all qualify. God is still wanting to make mighty, valiant men and women into warriors, valiant warriors for him. He does the work. We don't get it together, then come. We come and go, help. I have nothing, God, help. And he goes, okay, now you're out where I can work. Now you're soft clay in my hands. And he begins to make us that which he wants to do. Our great need is Jesus, and he is our great captain. He is our answer. Again, these men of the three D's here, they'll go on to be mighty men of valor. God wants to do the same. He wants to do the same through this hilltop, right here in this location. He wants to take us and make us men and women of valor, those he can work victories in and through and all. And too often we look right away to ourselves. What do I have to offer? Wrong look. Look up. Look to the captain. He's the one who does this work. We just get to be a part of it. And why does he want to do that in us? Because he wants to also do it through us. Because there's a world out there still caught up in those three D's. There are those who are still caught up in, they are in distress. They are in debt. They need forgiveness of their debt from God. And there are those who are discontented. There are those who are, and they're missing out. They've come to the end. They're between a rock and a hard place, whatever example it might be. And they need us to say, hey, I got some good news. And to point them to him. So this morning, there's a couple of people in our group here. There's a few groups of people in our midst, perhaps. First of all, there's those who have never actually received Jesus as Savior. You need to do it. But it can be so hard because we don't want to humble ourselves. You know, we still like to picture ourselves as somehow we're better. And oh, come on, I'll just be a little better and I'll get my way in. It doesn't work that way. You must recognize you're spiritually broke and you need God to pay the debt. And that's what the cross is about. And it does no good to say that mom or dad or wife or husband or brother is saved. Have you made Jesus the captain of your soul? Have you received him as Savior? I'm going to give that opportunity in just a moment to do that. For some, though, you need to return to the captain of your soul. You went AWOL, and you're struggling, you're distressed, you're discontented. And we gloss it over. It's not that bad. I'll get it together. I just got to have this job come together. If I just get that contract, my kids will just behave better. If I can just get this done or do that, I'll be okay then. No, it's by design. You're discontented, and you're going to keep being until you come back and say, here I am. He won't throw you in the brig. He'll wrap his arms around you and say, let's get back on track. Because he loves us. But somebody needs to, there might be some AWOL here that need to come back to him. I'm going to invite Tim up. Tim's going to come up and just kind of play the guitar for a few moments for us. While we think about what we've heard this morning, you've been good listeners, good students. You've taken it in. But it's now your turn to respond. I'm going to ask you, if you've never received Jesus as Savior, to come forward and get the issue settled. Now, I'm not going to do a big emotional thing. We're not going to get up here and just play all this heart-plucking emotional music. He just wants to, Tim's going to play a little bit just to help us, so we have some time to think about it. But I want you to do business with God right now. I want you to really make sure that you have received him as Savior. And if you haven't, come up here. I want to lead you in that prayer. What are they going to think of me? They'll be rejoicing for you. Well, what's going to happen? You know what? We have new grounds. I've looked all around. There's nowhere in this grounds do we have a machine that we get you to hook you up to and do a lobotomy on you. I'm going to come to God. I got to like check my brain. No. No shock therapy. Just surrender. Saying, yeah, I see it now. I owe a debt. My sin created a debt that I can't pay. And I'm not going to earn it. Can't work it off. I'm in distress. I'm discontented because of it. I need to receive Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Father, we've come to an important, pivotal moment. And I know, Lord, that it can be that sense of people struggle and wonder about what's going to happen or, Lord, whatever the battle might be. We know the very fact there's a battle shows that there's a competition for our lives, for our hearts, so to speak. Lord, speak to those who have never personally taken that time to come out of the dark into the light, haven't responded to your call. They haven't confess their need and receive your remedy. Lord, I pray, if there's anybody here who hasn't received Christ as Savior, you'll draw them even in this time now. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need to receive Christ as Savior, while we're just kind of thinking about what we've just heard, come up front here. Let me lead you in that prayer. How I pray that the fact that no one has stepped up means that everybody here has done that. Oh, how I pray that's the case. But if you haven't and you're still hesitating, before you leave today, go find one of our prayer partners. They're over here at your far left, over at the corner over here. Get this issue settled. But now I want to speak to those of you who know him, but you've gone AWOL. He's the captain. You received Christ as Savior, but you wandered off. It's time to get back. Are you willing to admit how discontented you are? It's because doesn't have that place anymore in your life like he used to have. He doesn't have the steering wheel like he used to have. Are you in distress? Are you at a breaking point? Then I invite you, believer, if you've been AWOL and want to come back, I want to pray for you. During this time, I invite you to come up front. I'm just going to lead you in a little prayer. It's kind of a coming home prayer, kind of a coming back prayer. I invite you to do that. Is there anybody else? You know, I see you standing back there. Go ahead and come on up front with us. It'll be okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? It's okay. I don't bite, and neither do they. Great. Well, I'm going to lead each of you that have come up here in a word of prayer. Now, I can't pray a specific prayer because I don't know the exact circumstances that have brought you here, but God does. And I encourage you to take some time today after you leave here to go pray that specific prayer. Whatever has happened, whatever has been the steps to lead you to where you're at that you feel like you've drifted off or gone AWOL, whatever the description is, take some time to thank him for drawing you back. Take some time just to declare that under you're coming under his leadership again and you want to just do it his way. You want to walk with him again. And again, I don't know the specifics, but to that end, I want to lead all of you in a word of prayer. So I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. And repeat out loud if you would, so I'll know where we're at in all this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior. I stand here having received of Jesus. But Lord, I confess. I wandered off. Chose to do it my own way. I haven't let you be captain of my life. I repent, Lord. I come to you. I give you control of my life. I make you captain once again. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you give peace and hope and life. Help me now just to walk as my captain every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. You go ahead and return your seats. Invite our worship team up at this point. Is he your captain? Awesome. If he is, then you know he's worthy of being praised. And so we're going to now, I invite you to praise and worship Jesus, who is indeed our awesome captain. Let's go for it. Amen. To preclude a lot of questions at the doorway, for those of you who used to greeting Kathy with me and you ladies that look for a hug from her, she is speaking this weekend. She spoke at a women's retreat in a Calvary Chapel in Sonora, California, and she is making her way back home to us right now. Let's pray. Father, we recognize, Lord, we were in distress. We were debtors with a debt we could never repay. So discontented, looking all around, never finding it around us, but Lord, in your love, you laid hold of us. Drew us to you, Lord, showed us our need, and then showed us your answer. Father, all glory, all power, honor to you. Thank you for that shed blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you. Thank you for what we found in you. And thank you that even as those who've come forward today just testified to, Lord, even though we drift off, your arms are open. You call us back. When we get into those discontented places, you draw us once again. Thank you for that. Just saying thank you, Lord, for all we have found in you. Thank you for what you've done, are doing, and are yet to do. Lord, if there is one still here that hasn't received, draw them even now. If there's those who know you, but truth be told, they're discontented, they're struggling, draw them even now. Work as you would, Lord. And then now, Lord, just as you made them, those mighty men of valor, do that work in us. Help us go out of here, Lord, into the places you place us. Make us those men and women. Mighty men and women of valor, all because of you, all because of the work you're doing in and then through. Bottom line, Lord, may you get all the honor, all the praise, all the glory from it, for you are worthy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And may you go forth resting in and continually looking to our awesome captain. Amen.